Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must-listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, it's Janine Vosper here, your host of the We Are Women podcast. And the episode today, I'm talking with Angie Hammond. Now, Angie is the owner of Garnish Marketing. And it's a marketing company that specializes in marketing to the grittier end of the market, which means it focuses on manufacturing, distribution, engineering companies, and mostly because, as Angie will tell you, that's what they are best at. Angie is 42 and she's happy being 42 as well. I wouldn't mind. I'd be happy being 42 too, Angie. She's a mum with two rambunctious entrepreneurial boys aged 10 and 9, and they run their own egg business, selling over 200 eggs a week. So if you're after eggs, it's called chookingaround.com.au. And she's the wife of Kev, a builder, who also owns his own business. So life is hectic with running businesses. In a spare time, Angie likes to train for triathlons, and she's about to head over to New Zealand in March to compete in the half Ironman in Taupo. And having finished her first book, Unpacking, which is a sarcastic review of all of the lessons that she's learned throughout her life to this point, and Angie is now looking at carving herself more of a career in writing and speaking. The process of unpacking herself has helped her realize her strengths and her weaknesses, which in turn has made her chuck out some of her ridiculous baggage. And yeah, we can all do with a bit of that, can't we? Now, marketing has always been on her path, but she feels that her sole purpose is to help people find their reason for running their business and helping them to manage them efficiently. So she's unpacked herself so she can unpack you, so you can repack and live a lighter and more filling life with a business you love and a business that you love running. So it all sounds very perfect, and although nothing is perfect, but it can always be better. Okay, Angie, let's find out a little bit more. That covers a little bit. Do you want to tell me anything more about yourself and really, you know, what you believe and how you got into what you're doing? And I'm going to have to ask you about triathlons and things like that. Yeah, as well. I've got a lot of questions from that intro just going from
that's
there.
That's all good. Well, thanks for having me anyway. I'd like to just say thanks. It's a bit of an honour to be on a podcast. I guess I've always been the kind of person that runs her own race. I don't often kind of just settle for stuff. So, you know, at the age of 20, I started backpacking on my own. I was initially going to go with a friend from work, and then as luck would have it, she fell in love. And I ended up going on my own, which was the best thing for me, to be honest, because it ended up with me having to carve my own journey. And I've been doing that ever since, to be honest with you. It's been a fantastic life to this age. There's been some ups and downs, and that's normal. When I was younger, my mum taught me from a very young age to be independent. And that's exactly who I am. You know, I'm sometimes probably to my detriment, a little too independent. Sometimes we can always put our hand up and ask for help, but I am a bit of a sole trader, I suppose. I went through a series of different types of jobs, which have kind of carved my path to getting me to where I am right now. And that was, you know, in hospitality and bars and offices. And I worked in banks and textile companies for loads and loads of years, actually. And then kind of decided that I needed to do something of my own. I worked in freight for a little while, and I was given the title director, which made me laugh actually, because I was directing myself and nobody else. But anyway, I was the director, and proudly so. But what it did was it opened up my eyes to the fact that Queensland is really the land of the small business. Now, there were lots of people out there running their businesses, but none of them, well, not none of them, but quite a lot of them could be doing better in marketing their business. Now, I guess I've been working in marketing departments for textile companies and then this freight company and commercial furniture for a long time. And it just kind of it opened a doorway and it was like, oh, there's an opportunity here. Let's go for it. I hated working for other people. Other people's idea of how to run a business used to drive me insane because they give you a budget, which is about 4p, and expect you to turn it into millions and millions of dollars worth of sales, and it's impossible. So I kind of I'd set up my own thing and I've been doing that. This is 13 years now in my own marketing company. And it's great. It's actually really good and it's fun to run your own show. It's hard work, but that's part and parcel of, number one, being a mum, being a wife, and running a business all at the same time. And obviously running triathlons, which I'll tell you about.
Yeah. And look, that's, you know, a lot of the listeners, that's exactly right. There's so many hats that they're wearing and trying to make sure that they do everything well without – the stress that goes hand in hand with, you know, as most women try to be perfect and
always going to have stress. I think that's what you need to design yourself to, is the fact that stress is part and parcel of a life filled with children, husbands, businesses, and whatever else it is that you choose, and you must choose to do something for yourself.
And even, you know, the people that don't have children, they tend to take on lots of other responsibilities. And most people I've found that are in their own business tend to step up into other roles as well, you know, whether it's volunteering or into, you know, mentoring other people. Whatever it is, it becomes busy.
Well, I spent a good couple of years sitting on the board of a local peak body, and it was a voluntary position, but I ended up spending so much time doing it. I loved it. Don't get me wrong, it was actually really, really fulfilling to do something that was a give back to the community. It completely exhausted my time and brain and all of that kind of thing. But, you do step up and you do kind of go, okay, well, what else can I do? And it has actually helped me to carve a niche for me as a businesswoman to be more of a mentor. Now, I do sit on the panel for the Mentoring for Growth initiative, which is run by the government. I've been doing that for a good 3 or 4 years now. And I find that's a voluntary thing as well, but I find that very rewarding and it actually ends up being good leads for me as well. But I really, really enjoy speaking and mentoring and giving people that guidance. When you first meet someone, you know, when you go into that initial meeting with somebody and you've never met them before and they tell you a little bit about their business and then you give a little bit of insight as to what it is that you know and how you might help them to plant a seed of creativity, I suppose, and you see the light bulb go off in their eyes, that is my absolute favorite moment.
I have to agree with you. And totally agree with you. And, you know, coaching, and I've been, you know, working as GM of a multi-million dollar business, and that's nice when you've, you know, you're able to create and build a big business like that. But for me, what motivates me, exactly what you just said, is to be able to coach and enable other people and share your expertise in assisting other people to be successful, and even not just successful, but they get a new concept or idea, or they can shift their thinking from and lift them their spirits up a bit as well as what they're doing, because we know in small business it's a tough ride.
That's right. And a lot of people, you know, they start their businesses and they forget their reason why they started their business, and they fall out of love with their business. They're just getting up and going through the motions. And what I quite like to do is to help them to find their purpose I've written a book and it's called Unpacking, as you mentioned. Now, I've unpacked myself. And it helps me to kind of go, okay, well, look, you know, these are the lessons that I learned throughout my life, but actually there are things that you can learn through what you have been through as your experience, and remember why you started doing this. And if you started doing it for all the wrong reasons, then question whether this is your path, you know. And if it's not your path, then that's okay. You know, we all have seasons and we all have reasons for doing things. And if you're out of season, then it's okay to say, do you know what? I need a different journey. I need to do something else. But if you still have passion for what you're doing, you kind of have to dig deep and find it in you. You know, it's one of my mantras actually, especially when I'm out on the road running and cycling, doing my triathlon, is that you absolutely, when the tough gets going, you kind of have to dig deep inside and go, I can do this. I know I can do this. And you find it back and you get on with it, really.
And that's a good metaphor, but it's a good statement for right across whatever you're doing as well. Yeah. The mentoring for growth, I actually looked it up this week and been considering getting involved with that. So I've never heard of it before. Good. And just
that's
found
funny, I'm one of the youngest ones on their panel. Mm-hmm. And there aren't too many females doing it as well. And I think it's something that smart young women absolutely should be getting involved with. And it is interesting, you know, the response that you get, the Mentoring for Growth panelists invariably are very well experienced corporate men that have kind of stepped out into their own consulting role and now offer their time back, you know, dutifully and very humbly to the government to help out. And there's a specific type of person that's doing it. And then I walk into the room and I'm not that person. And then seeing the look on the people who you're actually the mentees, their faces, when you start to talk and actually realizing that this young woman does know what she's talking about and that she's holding the conversation and actually leading the conversation, it's quite fulfilling, I suppose, for me. Mm. I think they assume that I'm not going to be any use. But, you know, then they realize that I actually am.
Yes, and that's interesting because often when you walk into a situation like that, and it's for everybody, not necessarily in that role, but it's that imposter syndrome sort of drops down on you for a lot of people, doesn't it? They go, well, am I really good enough to be here in amongst this environment?
That's right.
And that's a challenge too. So was that something that you felt, or you just go, no, I own it, I rock it, I know my stuff,
I think I've always felt that seed of I'm not enough and I'm not adequate, you know, but really, you know, you're only measuring yourself up to yourself because, you know, the term adequate means there is a measurement. And if you're not measuring yourself up against someone else, then you are adequate. You are doing everything that you can be to be who you are, because I don't care who anybody else is. I'm measuring myself to me, and the mistakes that I've made in my life make me who I am. So I kind of have to stop. I've had stopped after I did all my unpacking, actually measuring myself up to other people, and realized that I run this race on my own. And everything is all about the things that I'm doing, and it's completely irrelevant to everybody else's little journeys. And you have your journey, and I have mine, and I'll do me, and you do you. And that's pretty much how I'm running my life these days.
Yeah, and that gives you a whole lot more power, doesn't it?
Yeah,
you know, I've got about 20 years on you, so I've been, you know, doing it a little bit longer, but it still is one of those things that you know, when I'm working with people, I'm seeing this all the time. It's really interesting. I spoke at a leadership summit recently, and these were highly skilled, highly educated women, and I was quite stunned at the level of doubt that they had and that sense of imposter syndrome. And, you know, most of them had government or top corporate jobs, and they still doubted themselves. So it's why, isn't it?
I think every human does it, though. You know, I don't even know if it's a female thing. You know, men and boys, they do it too. It's like, I'm not good enough. Like my 10-year-old little boy, he does the same thing. He's like, you know, he is the best swimmer in his school, and he doubts himself. When he knows that he's going to smash every single race that he ever gets into, but he still doubts himself. You know, my husband, you know, there are doubts in his head, you know, and it's a human condition. But I think that if we can just be as honest as we can with ourselves and really grateful for the things that we have gone through to get us to the point where we are, so that we are the best possible person that we can be, then, you know, that's all we can do. We're not an imposter. We are who we are. And mm-hmm. then the imposter, just that whole facade of, oh, I'm trying to be someone else, because you're not meant to be someone else. You're just meant to be you. And that's, yeah, mm-hmm. it's taken me a really long time to come to the terms with the fact that I'm all right. Yeah, I've made my mistakes, yes. and everyone makes your mistakes, but I'm all right.
Yes. Yeah. And that's, you know, that, for the perfection, you know, that aim for perfection, there's no such thing as perfection, because it's, again, it's somebody's perception of what that is. But it's part of that being better, or the best that you can be. You know, that's all you can do, is be the best you can be. There's no way in the world that you can ever be perfect, because it just doesn't exist.
You know, you look at some people and they've got all their ducks in a row, you know, and you think that they're absolutely amazing, and you look at them and you go, oh, the grass is greener on their side. I want to be them. I want to be doing what they're doing, and this is how I want to live my life. And actually, if you got to know that person, underneath all of that facade and their social media noise, actually they're not perfect, and they have their own set of depression, and they have their own set of problems and money issues and whatever it is, because we're human. None of us are robots, and we all have things that bug us, irk us, that, you know, we have issues that are personal and issues that are about other people's perception. And then it's all about how we respond to those people and what we do with that feedback. And sometimes you don't need to do anything with that feedback. And I think that's important to take home, is that you don't need to listen to everybody. Not everybody is right all of the time.
No, one of my webinars that I run, I've got a quote in there from Wayne Dyer, which says, what other people think of me is none of my business.
Right.
And I think that's a really good way to. I mean, it's tough not to listen to others, but it's sort of owning your ground, just owning your spot where you go, you know what? No, I've done my best at that, and I'm good at it, and I've done my best at it. And if somebody gives you something, I'm part of a not-for-profit public speaking organization called Power Talk. Mm. And so you give people feedback, and it's constructive, because that's what they're there to do, is learn that, you know, instead of looking straight ahead, to look around the room, whatever that might be. So receiving constructive feedback, but from people who you respect their opinion. That's the thing, is we listen to the noise out there from other people who have no idea, and, you know, really don't, are there to attack rather than to give value in their feedback. I think that's one of the most important things I've learned over my life, is to receive feedback from people that I respect and acknowledge that their feedback is of value to me.
I think it's also, you know, makes it, understanding that someone is giving us feedback opposed to criticism. And I think it's about being able to read between those lines of, this person is not actually having a go at me. They're suggesting that perhaps maybe there is a different way to do it. But what it makes us realize, certainly what it makes me realize, is how you deliver feedback, because sometimes feedback can be perceived as criticism. And it's all in the tone. Our tone of voice is absolutely everything. And you know, as a mom of two little boys who, you know, they question so much, and you kind of have to deliver the answers with explanation. But, you know, they don't need everything, but they certainly need to know what they're doing, why, if there's any better way of doing it, and then get them to understand your instruction, I suppose, or your point of view, and so that they get it, rather than it be you've done that wrong and you need to improve that, and actually why are you doing that, and stop it, you know, because they don't respond to it, and we as adults, we don't respond to that either, you know. So I think it's a very personal thing, and getting feedback and then being able to use that feedback constructively, that's called growth.
Yes, massive, absolutely. Massive. And we need that as part of our learning, is to change and improve. I mean, I work with presenters who have been presenting for a long time and but have never received feedback on their presentations, and they don't realize, often they have nervous tells. They don't realize that each time they speak, the inflection of their voice goes up, which can be annoying. And, you know, little things like that, that they've just been doing for a lot of years and never had the feedback until I start working with them. And then it changes their ability, and they certainly grow as speakers. But it's just that if they, and that's the thing, is people will continue to do things the same way forever unless they do get that feedback.
Because we're human and we're frightened of change.
Oh yeah, yes, absolutely. I just listened to Who Moved My Cheese the other day.
Oh, that's good.
It's brilliant, yeah. And it only takes the audio. It was only less than 2 hours, so it's a really short little book. Yeah. So I recommend it to anyone who hasn't read it yet or listened to it. But yeah, it talks about change. You mentioned your boys, and I just think how incredibly entrepreneurial. So what area are they selling their eggs into?
So we live in between Mapleton and Nambour. So we've got a little bit of space here, and they've got 40 chickens. And they get up every morning at 5:30, and they go and feed their chickens and water them and clean them. And then after school, they come back. If they're not at squad training, they collect the eggs. And after squad, if they've been to squad, they collect the eggs and batch them all up. And because I've got a marketing company, I've made them a load of stickers to put on their egg boxes, and they've got a little blog. So every now and again, they do a little video blog. So if you have a look at chickenaround.com.au, there's a whole bunch of videos on there, which are just hilarious, you know, and it's teaching them how to market a business, how to speak and present, how to be confident. It's teaching them about supply and demand, and it's teaching them about customer service. And all of these things are really, really important. But that, you know, they're also having to look after these animals, and it's solely their job. I'll go and buy their grain, and I will go and buy their hay, but it's their job to look after them. So, and what we're doing is all of the money that they earn from their egg collections is going straight into their bank, and they're not having it until they're 18. So when they're 18, they're going to have thousands of dollars ready for them to do whatever they want with, whether that's travel around the world, go to university, buy their first car, put a deposit on a first house. Because
Fantastic. That's
what you absolutely have to do, because otherwise you're never going to get ahead. I mean, everything just keeps going up. Prices are going up. And I know that I won't have thousands and thousands of dollars unless my book is an absolute bestseller and everyone buys it, unpacking.com.au.
I love that. unless
everyone buys it, then you know, it's going to be a pain in the bum when it gets to the point they're 18 months apart, you know, and you've got to fork out all this money. It's like, let's think about this ahead of time.
Yes.
So we sell them all to our triathlon friends and the people at the pool, and we've got a friend who owns a vet, and all of his staff have the eggs, and people who own cafes, they have the eggs, and it's great, you know. It's couple of
that's
hundred
fantastic.
Eggs a week, and
yeah, it's great education for the boys, and it, you know, it's yeah,
they don't learn at school for sure.
Oh, I know, that's yeah. Amazing. It's great.
My sons
are in their 30s, and they went into trade. See that, so that saved me a lot of money, and now they're high earners. So that's good.
That's good
as well.
It's interesting. Their school actually sent us an email, and they're doing their homework differently this year for year four, where they're actually allowing them to have things that they're doing at home be contributing towards their homework marks. So cleaning their house, you know, doing activities. So whether it's swimming or sport or something like that, and looking after their bedrooms, learning a musical instrument, reading at nighttime. But you know,
oh, I love that teacher. Is that the school or is that just the class? That is awesome.
It's year four at St. Joseph's in Nambour, and I actually sent an email back to their class, to the teachers, and just told them how amazing and wonderful I thought that concept was, because the boys do so much extracurricular things, and it's not about adding up or, you know, putting information into their heads, which is important, of course. You need to learn how to read and write and add up and you know, understand science and maths, and I get that. It's really important. But actually the extracurricular stuff that they do is also really important, and they've taken into account like going shopping and then having the shopping list and say how much things cost. That's it's just amazing. And I'm so glad that they're doing it, because that's what makes us human. That's what makes us all tick, is the experiences that we have help us to craft who we are as adults when we get there.
Oh, absolutely. And all of those practical skills that a lot of kids don't come out of school with, it's just so clever. And and that sort of feeds into, you know, the when people get in their own business and start their own business, they often don't have a lot of those skills. They might be a really good kinesiologist, or, you know, a really good nutritionist, but they don't have the skills of business, and they certainly very rarely have the skills of selling. And the thing is, as we know, if you don't make a sale, you don't have a business. And that is, you know, that incredibly vital, that extra life skills and business skills they're doing as well.
Yeah, the boys all have to make their own phone calls, and they send out their emails to their customers and stuff like that, you know, and it's something that I think is important. Because when they're older, they're going to most likely do something of their own, because this is the path that we're teaching them. You know, it depends. Mm-hmm. I mean, my littlest one, he's 9. He wants to be a vet. So he knows that he needs to make his maths and science really good at school. He's 9. He already understands that. You know, one of our close friends actually owns a vet. So he's been in and done some work experience, which was so good for him to kind of go, okay, I need to do that. And you know, he ended up euthanizing a bird. And so he understands the life-death cycle as well, which is just – they're so grown up. Mm. And I'm so proud that they are so grown up and so well-rounded, but they're kids at the same time. They're not little adults. And that's really important, is that we give them the opportunity to play and to explore. And, you know, we travel around and do all these triathlons, and they do their triathlons. Just this weekend we've been west to Goondiwindi, and we've all raced in the Hell of the West competition out there.
Well, that would have been a bit warm.
It was quite warm, but, you know, there was a storm that came through the day before. And I thought it kind of cooled it down a bit, which was great. But it was really good for them. They did that. It was a participation event for them. But, you know, they both smashed it. They came in, like, Jake came in first and Zach came in fourth. But for them, it's important that they get involved in that, and they get the opportunity to travel and meet other people and be in different places and use their manners and go out for dinner and it not be an issue.
Yes, yeah, and yeah, that's just great that they get to do that, and I know we're sort of off track to where we started, but it still supports it, the conversation anyway. But when my boys were growing up, they had plenty of free time and sports and did all that, but I always felt like I was raising contributing adults. So at some stage, they've got to be contributing adults. So I didn't want them dependent on somebody to iron a shirt for them, somebody to do their banking for, you know, all of that. That's and great. Cook a meal. Yeah. It was, yes. And
yeah,
so
the boys are already, they already want to cook, you know. They're like, can we cook dinner? It's like, absolutely, yes, you can. I'll do the hot stuff, you know. You're all good. And they're great. They have an active interest in doing it.
Yeah, well, with my boys, their partners and wife are very, very pleased that they came fully trained, which is very helpful.
I bet they are.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Now, getting with, you know, with what you've experienced with business and marketing, what are some of the problems that you've seen in the marketing of businesses in particular?
Well, I think marketing in particular by a lot of people is seen as a luxury. I think it's unfortunately seen as a luxury. It's like it's the first place where budgets get cut, but it's the first place that gets blamed when things go wrong, you know, they haven't got any customers, but they haven't done any marketing, or they haven't done it very well. But you've got to put money in it to make it work, or you've got to put ideas and effort into it to make it work, and not necessarily a whole bunch of money. I think that lots of people in micro businesses quite like to get all the advice off of people like consultants and people marketing companies, they get them for free and then they never actually engage the person. So you've got a lot of tire kickers out there, and that's actually really quite painful for a person who's in small business. So it's about being aware of who's going to actually turn into a customer and being able to read that beforehand.
How do you do that?
It took me a really long time actually to get to the point where I was comfortable to say, actually, I can give you the first initial meeting and a proposal, and it will be a short one. But if you want an in-depth, proper session with me, I'm actually going to charge for it. So I do. I call them discovery sessions, and that means that I go in-depth. I look at their reports. I look at everything that they're doing. Have a really good overview of their website, what's working, what's not, their email marketing, their case studies, their brochures, anything that they're actually doing. Is their trade shows working? Are they actually re-engaging? Are they remarketing? Are they using their database? Let's have a look at the reports. Let's look at your SEO, all that stuff. And I charge for it because it's a huge body of work and it takes a good few hours to go through everything. And actually there's value in that. And I think it's one of the things that we need to be better at as small business owners who are consultants, you know, talking to the consultants out there, is understanding that we have value and that the things that we do have worth. And if the people that are asking us to give them a proposal don't see that, then they're likely to not see the value in what you do, and therefore they're not a good fit. They're going to end up being a painful customer, and they just want everything for free, and then they just want to get the report and then do it all themselves. And I don't play that game anymore. I did for a really long time and lost a lot of time that I could have been charging for. So it's about seeing your worth and understanding who's a tire kicker, not being scared to charge your full worth as well. I mean, we all start out charging sort of 60 and 80 bucks an hour, and actually, do you know what? That doesn't make the business float. It just doesn't. It doesn't work anymore. You know, in today's age where you've got to pay for your accounting packages and all the software that you use, your project management stuff, any staff that you've got, and everything it takes to run a business, including, you know, your car and your phone and all of those things, that rate does not float anymore. So you absolutely have to be comfortable with being able to charge what you're worth.
Well, because time is our biggest in business, you know, time is what we lack the most of for all of us. And most people, you know, seem to be just jumping from one project to the next. And especially, and I was going to say especially micro business, but, you know, I was in a medium-sized business for years as well. And you're just constantly busy all of the time without that clarity that you're just talking about, and valuing time and shifting it out as to what is the most valuable use of your time, because you can't get that back. And where are you directing it? Yeah, absolutely. And that's
being okay to delegate. You know, it's okay to take other contractors on and make money off of their efforts, because ultimately they're likely, once they get the hang of everything, to make you more money than you can ever make for yourself, and you can get out there and grow your business. But it's taking that leap of faith that actually you can do that. I've had I've had staff and contractors for years and years and years, but that initial jump to do it, it took a lot of balls.
Yes. And I think that's, we like to keep control of everything, and when you're trying to control everything, you can't. You're too many balls in the air, and
that's right.
You really do need to find out what's beneficial to growing a business. I know I coached a lady years ago who had a print business, and coached her in sales. She was good at the printing part, but she wasn't good at the sales, and she wasn't sure that her staff were doing any good either. And when she got good at that, she actually got rid of a sales staff, and she went out and met people and generated business and left all the printing and everything else to the staff back at the shop, because her business just accelerated a lot because she focused on what was the most vital part. It's getting more business.
I think that, you know, what would be a good way to look at it is, if you have a business and you're passionate about it, you can sell it, because your passion speaks so much more than the fact that you can do X, Y, and Z for this much money.
Mm.
I think that being able to go out and saying, we're really good at this and we can help you do these things and this is what we're going to charge you for it, but the result that you get is going to be incredible. And actually then being able to back yourself and be fully behind that, you're going to get the sale because you're confident, you're in charge of your own scope, you know exactly what you're talking about. Not saying that you shouldn't have salespeople. Actually, salespeople are a really, really fantastic asset, but they have to be on your page. So they have to share the same values as you and your company. So if you do have a team of salespeople, training is really important. And it's all about getting someone to understand that they need to exude the same passion, enthusiasm, and love for what they do as you do when you're out on the road.
Hmm.
You know, having been doing this role for a good 13 years now, it makes you have to be good at having a conversation and communicating verbally. Now, I know a lot of people are very frightened of picking up the telephone, and everyone seems to hide behind email or social media these days, and it's the worst thing for your business.
Mm.
You know, we're in Queensland. This is the land of the small business, and it's all about reputation, and it's all about communication. So the people out there who want to engage you are going to do it based on a referral. They're going to do it because they've met you and they like you, they engage with you, they trust you. Trust is enormous, and it's everything for entrepreneurs and consultants and people out there who want to sell themselves or their company as a brand.
And that's what people do wrong on social media, don't they? They're expecting that they're making sales on social media where they're actually building connection and building trust, and then the sales come from that when people get to know them.
I don't even think you should put prices or products onto social media. You know, you can sort of talk about subjects, like using blogs and articles and case studies is exactly what you should be doing on social media. Showcase pictures on Instagram and Facebook and all of those types of things, but create links that go back to your website, because essentially it's creating a cycle of SEO. So you're creating all those backlinks that those SEO companies want to charge you a small fortune for. You can do it yourself.
Mm.
You know, if you write a blog and you write an interesting story, if you think about it, advertising, whilst it has its place for brand placement, if you think about the way that you read a magazine or a newspaper or an online forum, you don't read the advertisements. They happen to be there, and they're peripheral to you reading an article or a story. But it's all about the story. It's all about the information that's in it. So if you're writing something, it absolutely has to have a captivating headline, and the first two paragraphs need to make that person want to read on so that they click through to your website.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about being interesting and having something to say that is worth reading, that's going to make someone go, oh, do you know what? That's really interesting. Or I'd really quite like to get some more information about that product, that service, or that company, or whatever it is you're talking about.
Mm.
Because it's almost vomiting your passion on the page. And that's what attracts us, because positivity attracts positivity. And that's just the way the world works. We all vibrate at a certain level, and it helps. To if you're being really positive and you're sending out positive vibes through story, you're going to get more notice.
Yes, and story is power, isn't it? Because that's where people can resonate with you as well and go, oh, well, I like her because she's like me. And they get to understand that you've got the same issues and same problems as they have, but you've found ways to resolve it.
Absolutely. And that's why I wrote my book.
Yeah. What was the name of that again, Angie?
Unpacking.
Oh, there you go.
It's actually not published yet. So, but watch this space. We're in the process of putting it, getting it all out on Amazon as we speak. But yeah, I mean, it's all of that stuff is really important to building your brand and building trust in who you are. You know, it's, you look at some of these businesses that are out there, and the salesperson goes from one business to the next business to the next business, and they take the business with them because people trust them. You know, you've got builders who are doing massive tenders, and they engage the contractors that they used at the last tender, at the last job, because they take them with them. So it's really important. Your own personal brand is enormous.
Mm. Yeah, and my son is a construction project manager, and he's gone to another company, and he's done exactly that. He's taken all of his subbies with him because he knows that they provide, he's culled them over the years, and he knows the ones that he has with him are reliable and they do a great job, and that's, they're right, high quality work. So he doesn't even go looking for others. He just knows that he's going to get, and they give him good prices now. But yeah, exactly that. I know when I was working for the other company that I was the GM of for 20 years, I was originally out on the road selling, and still at 20 years later, I had the clients ringing me that just wanted to deal with me. And I'd send out my reps to finalize, you know, to take the orders and look after them. But they were very cautious of having anyone else except me, because they said, I just want to make sure that it's done right.
Mm. Yeah. And I think that's what training is why it's so important, you know, and sales training is really important. And it's all about, you know, having the competency to do something properly. And you know, sales has got such a bad rep, because there's a lot of people out there that just get involved in sales because they, you know, don't really know what else to do, or that, you know, it's a job, and they can't, sales, you can't really fill the spaces, I suppose. So they're just given this job, and people hope for the best, but actually it's a really technical job, and it needs to be done right, and it needs to be done with pride. And if your salespeople don't have the pride to represent your company, you need to get a different salesperson, or you need to train them.
Yes,
and look at what their core competencies are as a human, and put them in a position in that business so that they're using their skill set opposed to what you want their skill set to be. Because we're all different.
Yeah, absolutely, and everyone does it differently. And I found with my team, if they treated it as their own business as well, and that made a big difference to the way they honored what they were doing. But yeah, no. There's so many components within what we've been speaking about. We've gone all over the place, but it's all really interesting. Interesting. So I did warn you, that's what I do. You know, you sort of find something that's a good conversation, and then keep going with it. Now, I know that you don't have 3 takeaway points. I know you've got about a dozen takeaway points. So we better start now if you want.
I think the takeaways are just being who you are meant to be, and not be frightened of being who you're meant to be. Yeah, don't be frightened of your own shadow. You know, find your passion. Don't be frightened to start something of your own, and you know, and then be confident enough to change it, because you evolve, and so everything else should evolve around you. You can't keep doing the same things and expect a different result. If you're doing the same thing, you're always going to get the same results. But be happy to evolve as a human, as your business evolves and as time goes on, because, you know, every 7 years they say we change absolutely everything in our body. I love the whole idea, actually, that every 7 years, nothing in our body is the same. All of our cells have regenerated. I find that whole concept incredible, that's what happens with human bodies. So 7 years ago, I am definitely not the person that I am today, which means that, of course, we've evolved, and that evolves your thinking, and all your experiences that come as a result of that. So your path is ever evolving. So if you're going to start something, Be open to change. Change is the only way forwards, and it's cathartic. It's really quite healing, I suppose, to kind of go, wow, you know, I can make that leap, and I can change it, and it's okay to change it. I don't have to keep doing the same things because that's what I started doing.
Yes. I know it's particularly certain things have changed. I've always gone, oh, no, that doesn't need to change. And I needed a good reason for it. But other things you just sort of jump straight into and just go, that's a great idea. But after listening to Who Moved My Cheese, I'm even more open to totally new ideas and just sort of checking out alternatives. You don't have to go with them, but it, being open to them is important. Yeah. But yes, just, that whole be who you're meant to be and follow your passion is, you know, something so vital that we get the opportunity to do.
There's a book I really like, actually. It's called Big Magic. It's written by the same lady that wrote Eat, Pray, Love. It's Elizabeth Gilbert. And she has this concept in there, which I think about quite often, that an idea manifests itself. It's like the idea is its own entity on the outside of who we are as humans. And there's all these ideas floating around. And when you're ready as the vessel, that idea attaches itself to you. So you can make manifest, you can make it into a real tangible thing. And if you don't get hold of that idea floats around and goes and finds someone else who'll do it, you know, because the idea needs to come into fruition and it's choosing vessels. And I love the idea that, you know, when you get that moment where you go, God, that's a really great idea.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to think and you start to kind of plan it in your head. And then, you know, you get distracted by something else and you never actually do it. Those moments, you need to kind of realize that tingling sensation and that intuitive, this is your ticket sensation, that's just happened. And that actually you need to do something with that and don't just let it go. I think that I love that whole concept that you've been chosen to be the vessel, because it makes you kind of go, wow, actually I need to do something with this idea. This is an opportunity, rather than just go, oh, it's another opportunity and I'm always just going to sit on my couch and I'm not good enough and I'm not adequate and I think someone else would do a better job, because you are adequate and you can do it. And don't be afraid of doing something. And understand that you've got the value and the knowledge and the experience to do what you've just imagined, because otherwise the idea wouldn't have found you.
No, that's absolutely great advice. That's just put that down on my read list. I listen, but I call it reading. But yeah.
It's a great book. I don't know what everyone else thinks of the way that she writes, but I actually really quite like it. It's very casual and yeah, love it.
Yeah. So any other takeaway points as well?
Yeah. I guess don't worry about what everybody else thinks. I spent 42 years worrying about what everybody else thinks, and I've kind of just gone, do you know what? Done. I'm done with it. I don't need to worry about what you think anymore. Like I'm good enough. Mm. I'm adequate. I can do this. And you get out there and you go and do it. You know, and if you need to niche what you're doing to change your path, then that's what you do. You know, years ago I used to have a marketing company that helped everybody, absolutely everybody. And that was all very interesting and great. But actually, after the Brisbane floods hit, I had to go and find work elsewhere, because everyone in Brisbane decided that, like a tsunami, all the water ran away, and they ran away from their marketing just the same, in about the same space and speed as the water runs away from a tsunami. I had to go and find some other work, and I actually ended up going west out to Roma, and found out that there were lots and lots of more industry style businesses out there. That helped me carve my niche.
Mm-hmm.
And that has helped me to make the decision to be a marketing company that focuses on manufacturing industrial style businesses, mm-hmm. engineering companies, you know, distribution companies, because that's what we're really good at. You know, and talking mostly to guys who are really good at operating their businesses, or females that have been doing absolutely everything in their business and really just need a hand to do some of that marketing themselves. So find a niche and then work it. But whatever you're doing, my biggest takeaway is stay true to yourself.
Mm.
Absolutely stay true to yourself. You know, only you can make your dreams come true. Waiting for someone else to make them come true, it's just silly. No one's going to make your dream come true, because it's your dream. So get out there and do it.
Yeah,
find it in you.
Yeah, that's excellent advice. Yeah, and just do it. I mean, most situations aren't life-threatening. They may feel like it, the nerves, but they aren't. So yeah, just have a go at it. That's one of the things you usually do with sales training as well. Somebody says no, it's actually not life and death. It's just no. But yeah. No, that's excellent. So how can people get in touch with you? And I know there's a book, But
it's not out yet, but it will be.
Probably soon. I think it's called Unpacking. I'm not sure, but I... Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
How did you know that? I don't know how you knew that. You must be psychic. you can have a look at my website. So it's garnish.com.au. There's a 1300 55 33 21, or just shoot me an email, angie@garnish.com.au. I'm really happy to pick up the phone and talk to you like a human as well. So just feel free to give us a call.
Yeah, and that makes a difference when you know that you can speak to somebody directly. And, you know, after having listened to the podcast, I'm sure there's people out there going, oh my gosh, she's got so much to offer and just so many ideas. And I know what, you know, from listening just to our conversation, you know, this idea is floating in my head as well. So I'm assuming that the same thing is happening to the listeners as well. So again, that's Angie Hammond and it's Garnish Marketing. So the phone number is 1300 55 33 21 and it's angie@garnish.com.au. Now, all of that will be in the show notes anyways, if you're driving and listening to this, and please don't try and write this down and as you're going along, but no, remember it. Now, look, thank you very much for that, Angie. That has just been that I say this like every time I do an interview, I say it each time that the time goes so fast, but the information is so valuable and it's all so beneficial to, you know, people either starting out in business, been in business for a long time, and just sometimes we just need to hear something that prompts us to take action and to, you know, get over ourselves and get our own way sometimes and do it. Yeah. So thank you.
I don't think anything that I've got to say is news. It's not, none of it's brand new news, but it's just reminding yourself that actually you can do it. And you know, sometimes you need to kick up the bum and that's okay. Everybody needs that sometimes.
Mm, no, absolutely. Yeah. No, thank you very much. So that was Angie Hammond, the owner of Garnish Marketing. And I would just like to remind everybody, please leave a review. And if you think it's 5-star, I'd really appreciate that as well. And that is another episode of the We Are Women podcast. You can always get in touch with me and find and book in for a free a bit of a review, like Angie was talking about, a bit of discovery on what your business is and what your needs are. And if you go to janinevosper.com.au, and for those that haven't seen my name spelt, it is janinevosper.com.au no AU on that website, and just book in for that session and we can have a chat and see if and how I can help you with your business. But please remember to leave a review, and thank you very much again to my guest, Angie Hammond. And it's bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.